Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. A really good Wednesday to you. What's cracking? How you living? How's everybody doing on this Wednesday? As you know, Wednesday is always a big, big day. One, it's a hump day.
Hump day.
Yo, Perv, happy hump day. Hope it's everything you thought it would be.
That's devastating.
And wanted it to be. On top of that, we have got so much to get done, so let's get at it. Telephone number is toll-free. I've got two interviews. Throw out some good guys. It's a hump day. What's not to like about hump day? Two interviews today, so I would encourage you to start dialing right now. 1-800-636-8686. That is two for me. It's two for me every single day. And I'll tell you where those interviews land. But in the meantime, do not concern yourself with that. Concern yourself with your phone. You have it. Pick it up. Bang out those numbers. 1-800-636-8686. If you prefer to hit me up on X, that'd be great. At Jim Rome. And you can still email me. I wonder how long that's going to last. Use the email while you still can. Rome. R-O-M-E at haveitake.com. So the interview is set up like this. Coming up at 9:40, the NFL draft is 2 weeks out. I've got a draft prospect, running back out of Notre Dame, Audric Estime. Second hour is wide open. Third hour, try to run him down a little bit sooner, but better late than never. Michigan State head basketball coach Tom Izzo. Haven't had a moment with him.
Run his ass down.
So, well, that's a little harsh, Alvy. Tom Izzo has always been available and accessible, and I'm going to find him in hour number three, specifically at 11:20, if you look at those things. Also, the beef segment's not until tomorrow. A couple of you have finally figured this out. You can beef on non-beef days. Just turn that beef into a take. Have a take. Don't suck. Go ahead. You know where to find me. I've got lots to get to today. Once again, 1-800-636-8686. If you were to see me on TV, and you can't right now, but we will be streaming on the X platform soon enough, you'd see me plugging and unplugging my MacBook Pro. You ever have that thing where you look at the icon at the top of the computer and it's got the plug, but it's not the charge? Can't figure it out? Hey, Bella B, fix that for me. All right. With all of that in mind, believe it or not,
they're
I'm going to start the program.
Out there. They really are.
Right? I'm going to try one more time. With all that in mind, I'm going to start with a mini NBA whip. Don't do that very often. Always during the NFL season, we have an NFL whip on Mondays. But rare is the day that we have an NBA whip or a mini whip. So let me try this. Believe it or not, I want to start with a shout-out to LaCap. A shout-out to LaCap this morning. And I'm not even messing around. I mean, like, legitimately, a shout-out to LaCap. The dude earned it. Did you watch the Lakers in Golden State last night? Did you see how sick LaCap was?
Me?
Yes, you. I mean, you couldn't miss it, right? The dude could not have made it any more clear that he is sick as hell right now. And yet, he still showed up last night, and he balled out in game number 80 in his 39-year-old season. Even though he could not have looked and acted any more sick than he did. You know how bad he looked? He looked even worse than my kids, who were puking all over themselves when they sat in the theater and saw what he did in my movie. And that was like literally the sickest I'd ever seen two human beings ever in my life. My two kids, as they sat in the movie theater and watched Space Jam 2 and started to vomit all over each other, the people in front of them, their mother, their father, until we were all ushered out as a family. I'm like, hey, yo, zit-face kid, you don't need to usher me out. We're going to sprint out of here. We don't want to be here. Anyway, that's how that guy looked last night. This dude looked like he looked worse, actually. LaCap looked like he was going to pass out right there on the bench. He looked like he might not make it to the end of the game. He looked basically like death, but he still played like the same old LaCap. I've got to give the guy credit. Just bawling out while on his deathbed.
For real.
Of course he led the Lakers in scoring, despite all that. Despite the fact that he was severely infirmed. And of course, that great performance was wasted yet again. Of course, it didn't matter. Because the fake Lake Show got beat anyway. Way to go, Lake Show. You lose LeCap's flu game. Even though you got 38-11-7 from the sickly goat. Incredibly enough that this dude is still able to suit up and do it on this level on any night, let alone on a night where he is obviously wrecked. I don't know. Maybe he sat down and he watched that movie himself before the game. But this dude was wrecked. Wrecked, and it looked for a while like he might not even make it. Let me put it to you this way. It was touch and go on the bench for LeCap, but it was full go on the court. Same as it ever was. Like, I have no idea how this dude does it. I have no idea how this dude does it when he's right, and I have no idea when he does it when he's not right. But he still does it. But you know, it's incredible. But you know what's even more incredible? What's even more incredible than LeBron doing what he did last night, as sick as he was, is the fact that street clothes was in his street clothes for the very same game, thanks to, wait for it, the actual medical diagnosis. Well, LeBron's out there looking like death and bawling out his ass. Street clothes is just kind of taking it all in his street clothes. And you know why? He had a headache. Well, to be fair, he had a headache and some nausea. So, LeCap's out there playing with LeFlu and bawling out with LeFlu while street clothes was sitting with a headache. Yeah, I'm sure LeCap's response to hearing that news before the game sounded something like this. Yo, Cap, strike that. LeCap, you're going to have to go without AD tonight. Why, man? He doesn't feel well. Oh, he doesn't feel well. I'm about to drop dead out here. I have LeFlu. What does he have? Le headache. Listen, I've given street clothes a lot of credit this year for how little he's actually been in his street clothes. I mean, the guy has played 74 games this year. And up until this week, he was on pace for a career high in games played. But then when the Lakers really needed this guy, he was in his streets for two of the most important games of the year. Because, of course he was. Of course street clothes was in his street clothes while the elderly goat came back from death's door to try to carry that team to a better seed. What could be more Lake Show than all of that? What could be more on brand than all of that? Well, aside from losing the game, which of course they did, because the Dubs, who, by the way, are playing really well right now. They're playing some of their best ball when it matters most. The Dubs showed up last night, and they put on a laser show. The Warriors showed up, and they knocked in 26 threes to ruin the LeFlu game. To keep the Lakers behind the Kings in the 9 seed. They dropped 134 on the Lake Show. They knocked in 26 threes. Way to get a hand in somebody's face. Anybody's face. Way to guard no one at all. And you can tell it took a toll on LeCap. Listen to how awful this dude sounded after that game.
So I could stay hydrated as much as I could, man. Get my team as much as I could today. You know, I came in, it was a Sunday, before the, my normal prep day, for the Minnesota game. And, started to get worse, but as the minutes went on, so I went home, and pretty much today was like one of the first days I, was able to get out of the room, get out of bed, and, feel a little bit of energy and, I guess well enough to be able to come here and try to help the team.
I'm telling you, that guy sounds worse than me on my worst morning after my worst 42 bender ever. He sounds like hell. That guy did all of that. Did you hear the way he laid that out? He did all of that to crawl out of bed, get to the arena, because he knows this is a big one, only to find out that AD has a headache and is not going to go. LeCap sounds like hell. He doesn't just sound sick. He sounds defeated. He sounds like a man who felt like ass, and he played through it anyway, only to see his best buddy, the alleged face of the franchise, the guy that he tried to pass the baton to, sit out with a headache. Way to pick your dude up, AD. Hey, by the way, what's good, AD?
AD, what's good,
AD,
baby?
What's good, baby?
AD, what's good,
what's
baby?
Good?
AD, what's good,
you know
baby?
What's not? You know what's not? LeCap looking like he might die on the floor and still going out there and doing everything he can. And you just taking it all in your streets because you didn't feel up to it. How on brand. How fake Lake Show of them. Anyway, I mentioned it was a whip, not a Laker take. So at least the Lake Show was not the only playing team that embarrassed itself last night. You go ahead, V in the fee. I'll take your thoughts. I was going to say Laker fan react to me, but I know he's the only Laker fan right now left. Go ahead, V. And that smart aleck James Kelly is somewhere right now trying to hit me up about street clothes. Anyway, the Lake Show was not the only play-in team that embarrassed itself last night, because the Bulls made sure to send a message to their head coach in the midst of all this Kentucky speculation. Message being, yo, Munster kid, go. Go to Las Vegas. Beat it, Chalk Donovan. What else does it say when your head coach is in the news because he's being linked to one of the biggest jobs in all of sports, and you then take the floor and back him up by making one of the most embarrassing plays of the entire NBA season? In fact, this play may go down as one of the worst fast breaks in the history of the association, really in the history of basketball on any level. Here, overseas, pro ball, minor league ball, AAU ball, college basketball, middle school ball, local rec ball, YMCA ball, anything. Any ball, anywhere. Never has a three, never mind the best athletes in the world playing at the highest level. Never has a three on none looked so difficult. Check this out. And check out my dude, Stacey King's reaction to it.
Donovan has never stopped moving. That's a steal to Drummond. Andre Drummond knocked it free. And Torrey Craig!
Oh, no!
And they both missed
No, you got to be kidding me.
On.
Oh, my. Shaq to the fool. Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. That's a timeout. Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Billy Donovan is furious right now.
Drummond
and Andre Drummond is hurt after all that.
Oh, man, you got to be kidding me.
If that wasn't the most emblematic possession of the Bulls season, I don't know what is.
Wow, bro. Come on now.
Between a steal, a missed dunk with miscommunication, and then an injury, that was your Bulls season in one sequence.
Some of my favorite analysis ever. Wow, bro. Come on now. I love Stacey King. Stacey King is the greatest. That right there has got to be one of my favorite plays ever. And not only in basketball, but in life. That was incredible. Not only did they blow a three on none because Torrey Craig tried to throw himself an alley-oop off the glass, they blew it because his teammate, the trailer, thought the alley-oop was for him. Now that bleep is hilarious. Like Torrey was lobbing it for himself, but Drummond thought that Torrey was lobbing it for him, or Drummond thought that he saw an opportunity to snatch a bucket away from his buddy. Either way, it's incredible. And so is my dude Stacey King's reaction. Man, Stacey was not having it. Just not having it. But for the record, my dude did not swear right there. He is way too much of a pro to say what the internet thinks he said. I will even give it the Matt Nagy treatment and show you. Just like Matt never said penis in Cracker Jack. Right? Easy to hear. Stacy also clearly is saying, you gotta be kidding me. And, of course, Chicago did not just blow that hoop. They didn't just blow that three on none. they blew the game as well, which is all a rough look for the Munster kid. The Vamp, coaching that team, says he's focused on the Bulls, but maybe he should really be waiting by the phone for a Mitch Barnhart call because his team doesn't seem all that focused.
You know, I understand the interest in Kentucky basketball, but, I mean, has John even actually left? You know what I mean? And they're speculating what's happening. You know, it's just like, I'm sure the athletic director hasn't even made any phone calls if he hasn't. You know what I mean? I don't even know. So, like I said, my focus has been on our team and trying to help these guys get better and trying to close out these last four games to the best of our ability, try to find a way to get a home game for the play-in, see if we can get and find our way into the playoffs.
Yo, my man, Chalk. Chalk Senior. Munster Kid. Whatever it is you're trying to do is not working if they're running 3-on-0 breaks and they can't finish. And to answer your question, is John even left yet? Yes. Yes. And to answer your next question, have your players checked out on you? Yes. Is Barnhart calling other people? Yes. My man, if I were you, I'd be waiting by the phone, and I would pick it up when it rings. Dude's acting like he's all locked in. Meanwhile, his players are acting like they've completely checked out. His players are like, nah, dude. You should definitely be interested if Kentucky calls. In fact, by the looks of this team, the way they're playing right now and what they did last night, they would gladly drive him to the airport and buy him a one-way ticket to Las Vegas. Hey, remember when Cal said yesterday, when Cal finally did address the BBN, and I thought he did a great job in addressing the BBN, buy it or not, I thought he did. But remember when Cal said, it's time for this program and these players and these fans to hear a new voice. Let me tell you something. When you've got three guys jerking around and failing to convert a 3-on-none in a game they had to have, essentially the message they're sending their own coach, the Munster kid, is we need a new voice. We're sick of your voice. Wise up and get your ass back to Rockingham Lane. I mean, does it look like we care? We're throwing it off the glass to ourselves and embarrassing the hell out of the franchise, our city, and the legend, Stacey King. Hit the bricks, Munster kid, and tell Uncle Fester we said, sup, Fess?
Hit the bricks, pal, and...
Sup, Fess?
You gotta be kidding me.
That play is incredible. If you've not seen it and you want to see something funny, watch it. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Rough night for the Lake Show. Rough night for the Munster kid. But at least we dodged a bullet, it seems, when it comes to Giannis. And I will have that for you a little bit later on. In addition to the update on Giannis, I've got an update on Wemby. I've done this already. I've got kind of a countdown clock, not to the start of the playoffs, but until the end of the regular season. You know, ears is ass regular season. And the reason I've got a countdown clock on that is we are running out of time to see a guy who's now become not only my favorite basketball player, but one of my favorite athletes. And I don't play favorites. Wemby. He's still doing Wemby-type things for a horrible team. Man, this dude is too good to be true. This dude is too good to be real, even. Every single night when he takes the floor, they get their heads handed to them, yet he goes historic and does things that you should never be able to do. All right, another big topic that I never would have thought would be a big topic is a big topic, and I want to get to Stephon Diggs and the Bills Mafia. And the Mafia is losing its collective bleep because Diggs hit like on a comment that was very critical of the Bills Mafia. And of course, the Bills Mafia freaked out, making Diggs' point for him. So I don't know what's more incredible. The absolute violent freak out over a player hitting like to another post, or the fact that whenever somebody hits a like on social media, it's such a big deal. It's news. Like, if somebody hits like in 2024, it's the equivalent of that person actually saying what they liked. Like, you can't just hit like. What if it was accidental? Now, probably in Steph's case, it wasn't. But what if it was? What if it was a butt like? like a butt dial. Clearly, in social, even hitting like is now the same thing as actually saying it. I remember way back in the day before X was X and it was Twitter. I used to say things when I jumped on Twitter for the first time, like in 09. I would say to athletes and other people, don't tweet it unless you would tell it to a reporter because in effect is the same thing. Now it's like, don't hit like unless you would say it, because if you say or if you hit like, you are saying it, at least according to reaction. You'll see what I mean when I lay this out. Bill's Mafia went berserk. Mafia, I'm not going to tell you what to think. I'm not going to tell you how to act. I'm going to tell you this, though. He's gone, man. Dude's gone. He's out of the building. He's gone. Why are you so worried about this guy? Worry about who's in your building, not who's not in your building, and what he's doing on social media. Believe me, while you're losing your mind and dumping gasoline on a blue tip, this dude's going to take it all in and use it as a different kind of fuel, a good fuel. Not the kind of fuel that burns down a house, but rocket fuel, premium fuel. And you're proving his point. Also, at the NFL draft right around the corner, there's something I saw earlier this week that I wanted to get to. There's been a lot of polarization on Drake May. Some people love the guy. Some are saying, yeah, I don't know. I've got concerns about the guy. And then you've got Merrill Hodge, who wants nothing to do with the guy. And before you go in on Merrill, Merrill actually has a really good track record when it comes to these things. So I want to try and hit that. And one more thing before I go to break. Ran down my guy, E-Mus, Eric Musselman. He is going to be podcast episode 309 of the Jim Rohn podcast. That's going to air after the show today. But I did the interview yesterday, the conversation, and I want to play part of that. I never do that before the pod drops, but I kind of want to give you a preview. Mus and I chopped it up. We got caught up. Caught up on what happened at Arkansas, caught up on his vision for USC, caught up on his thoughts on John Calipari ending up in Arkansas. And I've got a preview, a taste of the pod, which is upcoming with E. Mus. Normally, sometimes, I'll do a recap. Rarely a preview, but because I think that is newsworthy and Mus is back home, I may preview that thing. Audric Estime coming up at 9:40. Tom Izzo coming up at 11:20. These are all Pacific times. And in the meantime, you know I like to start the day off with a question for you. Why is Old Trapper Beef Jerky so amazing? Why don't we start with the fact that it's a family business, which stands by quality and produces the world's finest beef jerky. Do not get it twisted. All beef jerky is not the same. Make sure you choose Old Trapper. You can actually see the quality right through their iconic Clearview packages. And every single bite of Old Trapper is tender. It's never tough because they use just the best ingredients. From their lean strips of beef, seasoned with top quality spices, to their real wood-fired smoke, Old Trapper delivers quality in every single bite. And it comes in four great flavors. Old Fashioned, classic beef jerky flavor. Exceptionally tender, smoky and delicious, or teriyaki with a yellow label where Old Trapper turned that flavor dial to 11, or hot and spicy with a spice so nice you'll want to snack twice, or peppered. All four are amazing. Grab and go with a 4-ounce bag or load up with an 18-ounce bag. If you do not see it, ask for Old Trapper by name because no other jerky compares Old Trapper with your beef.
You're listening to the Jim Rohn Show.
Big fat open, which means this is going to be a short, skinny segment, so I can get out on time for our next guest. Here's some reaction. This says, I'm going to read this as it's written, great open, pimp. Two things. Number one, Chalk Donovan is a keeper. Number two, Stefan is the worst dude ever. Number three, Nagy said penis. Signed, Jay in Denver. Hey, Jay. Hey, Jay. If Stefan is the worst dude ever, you're the dumbest dude ever. You know why? Listen to what you wrote. Great open pimp. Two things. Number one, Chuck Donovan is a keeper. Number two, Stefan is the worst dude ever. Number three, Nagy said penis. Signed, Jay in Denver. Dude, can you count to three? Wow, man. Not bright. Number three is incorrect. He said penis. We said peanuts, actually. And what? Stefan's the worst dude ever? Why? Because he hit like when somebody said that the Mafia, some of the worst fans ever. That makes him the worst dude ever. But then, and I love the Mafia. I will always, always back the Mafia. I will always have the Mafia's back. Always. Except in this case, Mafia, you're helping him make his point. But I will agree, Chuck Donovan's pretty funny. That is a keeper. Hey, Jay in Denver, until you learn to count to three, maybe you just stay away from the program. Let's see what else we have here in terms of reaction. Rome, it's Mockingbird Lane, not Rockingham Lane. And Uncle and Uncle Fester is the Adams family. The Munster kid is the Munster family. Get it right, boss. This is my fam you're talking about. Signed, Chalk. Jay in South Bend. I stand corrected. I'll own that. Mockingbird, Rockingham, Adams, Munster. It's all the same to me. But clearly I'm wrong. I stand corrected, Jay. Thank you very much. You see, unlike you, and when I say you, I mean a lot of you, I own my mistakes. Jay in South Bend, way to pick me up. Let's quickly go to the phone. Speaking of South Bend, Audric Estime will be joining me next segment. Oh, check it out. We go to Portland. James, my man. What's going on?
Jimmy, my man. And Alvy, brother, how pissed off are you that a cow-tipping illiterate who wishes his forehead girth was on his shaft was able to do your job when you were out last week, buddy? And to my surprise, Alvy, I thought you were out on your annual six-week vacation having another baby, but it comes to find out you're on a one-week bender making numerous babies. Get out!
Go ahead, Alvy. Come on, Alvy. What, that didn't warrant you firing a drop? Come on, Alvy, give it to him. Wow. No hammer? No run? Should have ran him earlier. I can't. Whatever, Alvin. He's talking about you, and you are the one with the hammer. James Kelly's trying to figure out exactly what he said. Whatever it was, James, it was not complimentary. He buried you again. Something about your forehead girth. You wish it applied elsewhere in terms of mass. Anatomically, somewhere else on your body. Something like that. James, I think you know what he was getting at. Even if you don't know exactly what he said, I think you know damn well what he was getting at. And Alvin, why are you like sitting there like a deer in the headlights? Are you not interested? Do you not care? Have you forgotten? Alvin's like, quote, I'm numb to it. The hell you are, dude. Two things. Shout out to the big head who has since been glossed the big stupid. Dude, you might not be that bright, but I know you can figure this out.
Even
if you didn't hear exactly or understand exactly what he said, I know even you are smart enough to understand or figure out what he meant. And Alan, you're not numb to it. Since when? You've heard everything. You've seen everything. Have you all of a sudden forgotten how to use that manual buzzer? Thank you. Was that too much to ask? All right. With that in mind, let's take a short time out. Audric Estime is going to join me next. Former Notre Dame running back, like every other NFL draft prospect, spinning clock, waiting to find out where they're going to live, where they're going to play, and hear their name called. That's coming up next. Second hour is wide open. Tom Izzo in hour number three.
Here is your sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. So we're talking a lot of association today. I've got some college ball and the coaching carousel that I want to hit on. And, of course, you've got the NFL draft right around the corner. Speaking of which, right now, we are joined by an NFL draft prospect. He led Notre Dame in rushing for the second straight year. He had 1,341 rushing yards. He also set a school record with 18 rushing TDs. He was named Notre Dame's Offensive Player of the Year last year. He earned second-team All-American honors last season. We are joined once again by Audric Estime. Audric, good to have you back on. How you doing?
Thank you for having me. How are you doing?
Good, dude, good. So the NFL draft is now just 15 days off, and you have done the majority of the heavy lifting. You've had the combine. You've had your pro day. So I'm curious, what is your mindset right now as you just sort of spin clock and wait to hear your name called?
Man, I'm just ready to play some ball. I'm ready to find my home. I'm ready to find out where I'm going to be playing for the next couple of years, and I'm just ready to go, man.
You know, I can tell. It sounds like you had a decision to make, and you made that decision. But let me ask you this. You could have come back for another year, and given how much you loved playing for the Fighting Irish, I'm curious, was the decision to turn pro a no-brainer, or maybe was it pretty difficult?
I wouldn't say it wasn't difficult at all. Like, it was kind of difficult in the sense of Notre Dame's a great place, and I loved playing there, and I loved my teammates, and I had another year of eligibility, but it was kind of a no-brainer because I felt like I did everything I needed to do, and I was ready to be a pro. I was ready to take the next step in my career.
We're talking to Audric Estime. So to further that thought, like, how did you know mentally and physically that you were ready to take this next step? I mean, I get that you had nothing left to prove there, but mentally and physically, it is a big step. How did you know you were ready?
Yeah, just the NFL is something that's been on my mind since I was a baby. Like, my ultimate goal since I started carrying the ball when I was 4 years old is to play at the highest level and compete with the best players on the planet. And I felt like I'm at that level. I'm at that age where I have the opportunity to do it, and I got to take the opportunity when it's in front of me. And I feel like I'm ready to show that I'm one of the best players on the planet, and I have this opportunity of a lifetime, and I had to take it.
I get it. Audric Estime joining us. What about a thought about Notre Dame? Like, anybody who's ever stepped foot on that campus knows how special a place it is. But to take that step further, how would you describe what it was like to wear those colors and represent such a storied program? What was that like?
Man, it was definitely a dream come true. I'm just seeing, like, Notre Dame is one of the best, most recognized schools in the world, like watching movies like Rudy growing up, and just being in those shoes, having 80,000 people at our games every weekend and a bunch of people on campus, and just it's just a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and I was just so blessed to be able to represent the Irish on the highest level every weekend.
Right, the highest level. For instance, I mentioned you had over 1,300 yards rushing last year, fifth highest single season total in school history. You also set that Notre Dame record for most rushing TDs with 18 this past season. When you consider all the all-time greats that came before you at Notre Dame, what do those accomplishments represent to you?
Yeah, definitely. Just coming in, I wanted to make some history. I wanted to be a legend, and I just always – I have high standards for myself. I set high goals and come in. I wanted to be one of the best to ever put on that helmet, one of the best to ever carry that ball out of the backfield. And I believe I definitely did that. Like you said, I set the school record. But I couldn't have done that without the people in my support system, all my coaches along the way, all off the linemen, the other people in this draft, like Blake Fisher and Joe all blocking for me. But like I said, I set high goals for myself, and I got to put the work in to achieve that, and I definitely have a lot of very high goals coming into this next level and next journey in my life.
Audric Estime is joining us. So you finished that up, and I mentioned you've done the heavy lifting. You had the combine. You had your pro day. I want to ask you about that because you probably didn't run quite the way you wanted to at your combine, but then you bounced back at your pro day, and you ran a 4.58 40. Like, the 40 is still a thing, right? It's still a thing for scouts. It's still a thing for teams. But in your opinion, is it too much of a thing? In other words, is there a difference between football speed and then running in an artificial setting, like for the 40-yard dash?
Oh yeah, most definitely. I'd say I'm a football player. I play football at a high level. I believe I do my job at the highest level like anyone in the draft. And if you watch the film, I run away from defenders all the time. I jump over defenders. I run through defenders. And I believe I'm one of the most productive running backs in the country. And, yeah, I did run a bad time, but I wouldn't say you should define someone like that. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. I was dealing with a hamstring issue the whole time, the whole process. And I came back and did improve in my time at the pro day, but I'd say those two times still don't define me. I feel like I'm a football player, and if you know the game of football, you can just turn on the tape and see that I do that at a high level. So I feel like that's how players and prospects should really be judged off what they do on the football field, because that's what we're going to be doing is playing football and not running 40s.
I get that. Let me ask you something. Like, so you go into that, and you know you've got a hamstring issue. What was the thought process? Like, you could have not run because you weren't right, but you decided to run and then didn't run the time you wanted to run. Like, what was your thought process in deciding to run to stop despite not being 100%?
Yeah, that's just me. That's part of me. I'm a competitor. I have a competitive mindset. I'm always trying to compete. And the combine was just something that I've watched every year. I watched dozens of people run their 40s, and at that time, I thought I was ready, but I wasn't as ready as I should have been. I didn't have time to prepare as much for the 40, but you just got to take the good and the bad throughout this process, and that's just a life lesson. You got to take the good and bad, and that's how you just judge on how you bounce back from that. Like I said, 3 weeks later, I came back and ran a little better time, but I still even feel like I'm faster in that, and I feel like I'm just so much faster on the football field, and you just got to take the good with the bad, and at the end of the day, you'll be judged on how productive you will be on the football field, and I plan to do that at a high level.
Audric, I want to confirm something for our listeners. You and I have spoken before, but I want to confirm. You're still just 20, right?
Yes, sir. I'm 20 years old. I'll start the season this year at 20 years old still, too.
That's what I'm talking about, man. You don't sound like a 20-year-old, and I mean that in the best way possible. You know, you talk about football, and you know football is a tough business, and there is that business aspect to it. When you look at the NFL right now, there's been so much talk about how the running back position has been devalued, yet you got a couple of future pro running backs that are big-time stars that got deals in the offseason. I'm talking about Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley. As somebody who's about to enter the league, how encouraging is it to you to see guys like that getting those big deals still?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely encouraging, and it's kind of tragic what they're trying to do to running backs, but I'm coming in with the mindset that I'm going to change that. I'm going to be part of the effort and part of the power to show the league and show everyone how important the running back position is, and I'm trying to be as successful as possible just to help the people who come behind me with their contracts. And like I said, I came to this NFL, declared for the draft, to be able to do what I love and to be able to change my family's life. And just to have the opportunity to do that is just a life-changing experience. But I'm definitely coming in to this next level with that mindset that I'm going to change the perspective and try to be as successful as possible.
Audric Estime joins me for another moment. Clearly, you're your own dude. You're your own man. Now, I spoke to Derrick Henry last week, and he's really impressive, man. He's as impressive off the field as he is on the field. I think that you've got a physical running style that is similar to his. Is he somebody, and again, you're your own guy, but is he somebody that you've patterned your game after? What other running backs do you admire?
Yeah, most definitely. Like, he's a bigger physical guy. Runs very ferocious, and that's the way I pride myself to run. But I study a bunch of guys like him, Christian McCaffrey, Derrick Henry, Adrian Peterson, the guy. He's not playing anymore, but he's a guy that I grew up watching, and I watch every single offseason. I watch his highlights probably 3 times a week. But, yeah, those guys are just bigger dudes, and guys that are bigger dudes, but they move like smaller dudes. They're guys that are able to go around you, make you miss, and go over you, and they're just 3 down backs, and that's how I pride myself. But at the end of the day, I am Audric Estime, and I just got to make a name for myself these next couple seasons.
And to that point, final thought, would you rather run over a dude or run away from a dude?
It depends. It depends on my mood, honestly. Like, if I'm feeling, like, a little angry, like, a little pissed off or early in the game, I want to send a message, I'd go to run through someone, but, like, most of the time, I want to score the touchdown. I want to put on points for the team. So I'd say the big run.
I like it. He's an NFL draft prospect. He led Notre Dame in rushing for the second straight year, as I mentioned. He was their offensive player of the year, set a record with 18 rushing touchdowns. He is Audric Estime. Audric, great to get caught up with you. Appreciate it. And, you know, I'll come looking for you once again once you figure out and realize where you're going to live and where you're going to work. It's great to have you back on, man. Good luck to you.
Yes, sir. Looking forward. forward to that. I appreciate you for having me.
Appreciate you. Yes, sir. Audric Estime. He keeps the streak alive. Notre Dame player is always interview great on the program. Always have great conversations. All right. And he's just 20. I want to make sure that you knew when you were listening to him and the way he sounded that that's a 20-year-old dude. I know I didn't sound like that when I was 20. I don't think I sounded like that when I was 30. I'm pretty sure I didn't sound that good when I was 40. I think right around when I hit my fifth decade, I started to sound mature like that.
40!
I'm a man, I'm 40. But not as mature as that 20-year-old. Audric Estime. All right, 1-800-636-8686. Phone lines are open. I know that James in Portland set the tone and set the table, and that's a hard act to follow, but somebody's got to do it. Which one of you is going to be it? Hey, Jim, Alvin can feel free to run my email for correcting the host, but it's Mockingbird Lane, not Rockingham Lane. Corey in STL. Corey, I've already owned it.
St. Louis.
Mockingbird, Rockingham. I got the lane. I got a lane, right? It's a lane, right? The Munster kid just needs to return to whichever lane he came from. If you've got guys running a three on none in a game they have to have, and his message to them is everything matters. We're trying to improve our seating. We're trying to get in. And these guys are throwing it off the glass to themselves, getting hurt doing it, and missing and losing. I don't care what street it is. Just get your ass back there. Stay tuned.
Get your ass to Moss.